Hey guys, you're listening to Thrive Happy. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Kelly.
And today we're going to finally start our four-part series on psychological abuse. So let's get started. So what are some of the techniques that the perpetrator will use to keep the victim feeling stuck? So the first way is they will try to isolate you from friends and family. Some examples of this would be maybe they might start a fight with someone that's close to you on purpose, just to try to like stir up some trouble somewhere so that they can, you know, keep you from that person. Another way, they might tell you that, you know, a family member or, you know, a loved one is, you know, talking about you or doing something maybe they're not really doing.
Right. Because, you know, the more people they get on their side,
mm-hmm.
family, friends, whoever.
Right.
That makes their army a little bit bigger. Right. So it goes back to the isolation part.
Mm-hmm.
You got one person here and 15 people here.
Right. And if they can convince, you know, everyone that you're crazy, you know, yeah, now they have everybody on their side, and it makes it a lot harder for the individual who's trying to, you know, get out of that situation. It makes it a whole lot harder
right. For
them to do so.
Well, and it's not only that. If you think about, just think about chess, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want that to gain those other pieces, correct?
Right, right. Of course. Yeah,
But once you isolate, going back to the isolation part, that puts that person in more power because they think they have more people on their
side.
Correct.
It makes them feel more powerful. And like you just, yeah, the power and the control.
Mm-hmm.
Another way, they will deny, they will blame, or they will minimize. So of course, denying, you know, if you say to them, you know, I didn't really appreciate how you blah, 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 they'll deny it altogether. What are you talking about? That never happened. I didn't say that. What I said, well, you know, and then they'll tweak it or, and then we all know what blame is, blaming you for them abusing you and the minimizing, not taking things seriously. So like kind of going back to the example I had said before, when you say like, you know, hey, I didn't like how you said, you know, that to my cousin or to my niece or whatever, you know, and they will make it into a joke. Oh, I was only joking. You know, why do you got to take things so seriously? Why are you, you know, do you have anything?
And you know what, too, I kind of learned this is with certain people, they think they say it enough.
Yeah.
Then that becomes the truth, even though it's not.
Absolutely, it does.
Right?
Yep.
So they'll say something over and over and over again, and they start believing it because once they start saying it, they've already in their mind made it their truth as such. And they will try real hard to persuade you that that is the truth, even though you might not.
Even though you know or whatever, right? But they get good at
manipulation.
Yeah, and I definitely think that part of it is they manipulate their own minds into believing their lies, because let's face it, if you fake it, you know, you still have to like put on that show. But if you really believe something, do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so they almost, I feel like they do almost manipulate themselves almost into believing their lie as well. It's an art. I mean,
right.
it has to be.
It truly is.
Another one is they'll use your children. So they'll make you, feel guilty about the children. They'll use the kids to relay messages, use visitation to harass, you know, the victim, threaten to take the kids away. That's another big one.
And this one really kind of, it pisses me off. I'll be blunt, because kids are not a vehicle for abuse.
No, not
they
at all.
They are just that. They are kids.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be in the situation, right?
Absolutely.
If you have an issue with somebody, your significant other or whatnot, keep it between you.
Yeah.
The kids are not a vehicle for delivering messages to, you know, to
absolutely
and even corrupt their own minds. Like, the kids are fragile and they absorb a lot and they hear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna, Jen, you know, the current situation I'm in, and they absorb a lot. And with their thought process, and some of them don't have that thought process defined for that individual,
right?
You can really set a pathway for those kids.
Oh, you absolutely can.
You know?
For sure.
If, you know, and it's sad because I firmly believe that a lot of people today use kids as a vehicle for relaying messages. And I'm not just talking about me. I want to clear that up right here and now.
Right.
Just from what I've seen through friends.
Yeah. Even in my you know, scenario, same thing.
And then they make the kids, it's almost like, well, if you talk to your mom, or if you let your mom use the iPhone I bought you, I'm going to take it away.
Yeah. Right.
And it's so not
you put
right.
Them, yeah.
You like, can't do that.
Yeah. You put them dead smack in the middle.
In the middle of it.
Yep. For sure. And, you know, they are already, you know, if you're in something like this, chances are you've probably been in it for, you know, quite a while. I would assume. And so if your kids, you know, are, you know, I don't know, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I mean, even up to, you know, I don't know, I guess even up to however old, really, they've been dealing with this for that long, you know? So they're already screwed up. Like they are already, so don't, like, leave them alone. Like, just leave them out of it and let them be. Let them be kids.
Right.
You know?
They're not a negotiation tool.
They're really not. I agree wholeheartedly. So the next one I'm going to, so it's use male privilege. And I want to go ahead and just kind of say this now, before people, you know, before anybody else says it. So the whole using male privilege thing. So 85% of reported domestic violence cases are men abusing women, and 5% are women abusing men. So these are the statistics.
Now let me stop you right there, because I'm going to say something.
Okay.
That's reported.
Exactly. Reported. You're right.
So there's the women part could be a lot higher.
Right.
I'm not defending
it. And
anybody.
It probably is. It probably is.
Okay. I just wanted to
absolutely.
Throw that in there.
No, it probably, yeah, it's not always men abusing women. There are, I have a friend actually who every time that he dates a woman, I swear, I always like, I make fun of him. I'm like, God, you really know where to go to find these people, don't you? You know, I honestly, I even told him one time, I'm like, I didn't even think this many women, like abusive women existed, like,
well,
in the world.
And you know what? And I think maybe more now, because let's face it, men are going to go run and say, my girl abused me.
Right.
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 They're just going to take it and be like,
right.
Sorry for swearing, but most of them are, correct?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because of that male ego,
exactly.
Kind of, you know? So, examples of that would, it to be the one to define men's and women's roles. So, you know, the abuser is the one that, you know, okay, you know, it's your job to cook and clean, and it's my job to go to work, and but you have to go to work too and come home and do laundry, and, you know, like, he, so he basically him assigning like the daily tasks, you know.
No negotiation whatsoever.
No negotiation whatsoever. Nothing. Basically, this person, you know, this person would make all the big decisions. And kind of act like the master, you know, like the king of his castle or the queen of her castle. So, you know. Do you have anything else to add to that, Ms.
No,
Kelly?
I just the negotiation part is key in a relationship. And
yeah.
I firmly believe that not only communication, but negotiation.
Yeah. You're going to negotiate in your relationship from start to all the way to the end, right?
Yeah. Cause it's a give or take, give and take, you
yeah.
know, it's, you got one person who's going to be, it's not a dictatorship, right?
Right. Exactly.
Relationship is not a dictatorship.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that.
Exactly. So the next one would be to use economic abuse. So, you know, prevent the victim from a job. So, you know, you're not, you know, you need to stay home and take care of the kids. You know, I don't want you working, you know, make her ask for money, give her an allowance. Oh Lord, that's a great one. not let her know about or have access to family income, or they may take your money from you.
Goes back to the whole, and that goes back to the whole control thing too. I mean,
oh, well, for
and
sure.
Now that's a huge one, is the economic financial piece of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know what I kind of noticed too lately is a lot of this is starting to flip around. If you notice, a lot of more females, and this is nothing against anybody, because I was the breadwinner for what, 5 years before my husband passed away. So I get it. And it was a choice. But what I did as I went to work, and what he did was our roles were reversed, right? And that was fine.
Yeah.
That worked because one of us, you know, and I'm full intentionally, I'm happy it worked out that way because he could spend a lot of time with the kids, right?
Right.
During the summer and that. It sucked. It was rough at times. And there's sometimes I came home and I was crabby as hell, but I'm glad it worked out the way it did. But with that being said, taking care of the kids, doing the grocery shopping, you know, going to practices, that is a payless job. And it shouldn't be.
Right.
It should not be. You know, it's as hard work as anything else in life.
Exactly.
It's hard as, and sometimes even harder. Because, you know, you got to deal with different emotions. And you get that it's at work. I get that. You have to deal with a whole bunch of different types of people's.
Yeah.
Just how they are, but you got to remember that when you are a stay-at-home parent, I'll put it that way, you are raising your kids to be the best human being they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to work, you don't care about how those other people act, right? But when you're raising your kids, you want to shape them in the best possible form they can be as an adult.
Right, exactly. And, you know, honestly, what I was going to say too, when you were just talking about how, you know, you guys, like your reverses are your roles reversed, you know, given the circumstance, I mean, I'm sure that you thank God every day that you did do that and that you guys did have that healthy, you know, like communication, because look at all the memories that your kids now have, you know, with their father. Like, now they have all these happy memories that they can cherish, you know, forever, you know. So that's definitely, you know, it's part of that give and take a little bit.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So, and then the last one is use coercion and threats, and use intimidation too. So make threats to hurt her, make her, you know, so if she was going to press charges on you, so let's say you did something stupid, or him, right? Thanks, Cal. And, you know, you were going to press charges. They might try to talk you out of that. Or, you know, they might threaten to, you know, commit suicide, or they might threaten to leave you. The intimidating part, you know, to make you feel afraid, you know, threaten to beat up your friends. That's another huge one, because, you know, they hope that if they scare you enough or intimidate you enough, you know, that you just won't, like, you just will not have a life. You will not go out. You will not, you know what I mean? You will not have friends. You will not do things that normal, healthy, functioning people do.
It's that fear factor.
Yes.
You know?
It's the power and the control.
Right. And you know? it's sad that it has to be like that, because, you know, you get couples or whatever, we'll just say couples, and the one wants to leave or move on, and they feel, like you said, stuck. But it's that routine. Right. And then they learn, the other person hones in on that and they use that against you. Like, well, if you leave, you know, I'll take the cars in my name,
or I'll
so
take
you
the
won't
kids.
Be able to go anywhere. Like, they hone in on certain things that they know is going to be your trigger point.
Right. Like, so if your kids is what is going to get you, or maybe the car, like you just said, the car is going to get you. You know, they will, they will absolutely use what, you know, they observe. That's the thing. They observe. They are always observing. And they were always watching for your reactions. They're watching for your emotions. They're watching for everything. So it's very important to, it's very important to not, you know, feed into that.
But the bottom line is if you're unhappy and miserable, a routine is just that, a routine. You can always start a new routine. You can break away and start a new routine. It's going to be scary. It's going to be uncertain.
Yeah.
We all have that.
Exactly.
Right? But if you're miserable, what is it worth going through life like that?
Well, you can't. Like, here's the thing. If the longer that you stay in your misery, the longer that you are, you know what you just did? You just hit a pause button on a TV or, a Walkman. Let me date myself.
A Walkman.
Like, you just hit a pause button on a Walkman and your life is paused now. So guess what? If you stay in something that you don't want to be in for 5 years, 10 years, you are literally pausing. You're putting everything on hold because there's nothing good that comes out of dysfunction. If you are in an unhealthy relationship and, you know, there's emotional, and you know what, there might be emotional abuse going on both ends a little bit too, because, you know, it's sometimes if you don't, it's like lack of knowledge and you just don't know better,
right?
You know? But not, you know, nonetheless, I mean, you're literally just pausing your life. You're just putting it on hold because, like I just said, you don't thrive in that. You can't thrive in toxicity. You right. just can't.
And I'm going to go back to the old school video games, right?
Yeah.
Where you got the character walking into the wall.
Right.
And he's constantly walking.
Marching.
Marching in the wall. And that's all it's doing because you're just, you know, you hit the, what is it called? Joystick now?
The arrow or the controller.
And that character's just going, walking in the wall, going nowhere.
Going nowhere. Exactly. That's the best way. Going nowhere. And until you get up and do something different, and yes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But anything worth doing is hard.
That's right.
Anything worth doing in your life is not easy. So you just have to start, you know, planning. You just have to do it. So the next thing I wanted to talk about, I wanted to actually talk about the perpetrator a little bit. So there are a number of factors, suspected to contribute to the likelihood of someone becoming abusive. But let's talk about some of those factors. So let's talk about some of the warning signs. Is there a history of abuse in that person's family already? Because that would be a real, real good indicator that you might want to just be a little careful, you know, just tread lightly. If the person was abused physically or sexually as a child, that's another one. They may lack healthy coping skills, or have a low self-esteem. They might have some kind of form of untreated mental illness or show codependency behaviors. We'll have to go. And if you don't know what codependent means, I would suggest that you Google that word and get kind of familiar with it. We'll have to talk about that
in
another episode.
Right.
Drug or alcohol abuse. And then, like we were saying before, that socioeconomic status, you know, so like coming from lower, studies have actually shown higher domestic violence rates in lower income communities. So that's another one.
Or, you know what, Shana, you made a good point, is if you get somebody who has one economic, you know, they're very well off, and then they meet somebody who is not. That's almost like a prey, right?
Absolutely.
Because they feel like
there's that control.
Right.
There's that they own you now.
But, you know, that's another thing. That's not a relationship. That is I'm going to prey on this person, or I'm going to control this person.
Yeah.
Just like, was it Pinocchio, right?
With the puppet? Yeah. That's
exactly.
Pinocchio.
And some people look for that. They think they got this money and there's no empathy, no emotional connect. But that to them is love in a weird way.
Well, and I think it's security too.
Yeah.
Because, right. Because really, I mean, if you meet somebody that, you know, let's say that, I don't know, let's say that you're, I don't know, a police officer or something. Like, that's a pretty mainstream, like, right? Like, that's middle of the road, right? Income, I think.
Depends where you're a police officer. But
that's
yeah.
true. But you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, and no, then, I know what you're saying.
And then you meet someone who is a, you know, that's a judge or something, you know. That's intimidating.
Yes.
You know? So how much easier, especially if you already are showing, you know, some of these characteristics, you know, that I just named, that I just mentioned, you know, how much easier would it be? So let's just say that, you know, maybe you're a police officer or, I don't know, come on, give me something else. Give me another one. I don't know why I keep saying police officer.
And then, an attorney.
An attorney. Okay. And then, okay, and then, you know, you're an attorney and you meet somebody who's a teacher. That's a pretty good,
yeah.
right? That's a pretty good comparison.
Well, that attorney's probably a bad.
No,
so
you know.
My attorney... Anybody that's an attorney.
Well, somebody that makes around that
yes,
amount
right.
of money
we'll
a year, that annual income,
right.
you know, and then a teacher's annual income, you know. So I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's security. It's, you know, you're like, they feel like they're above you.
Right.
You know, no matter what, there's always that, like, that thing, right?
Yeah, right.
For lack of a better word.
That is correct.
For sure. And then what about, like, socializing?
Socializing.
So what about like, so all the stuff that we had just mentioned, all the characteristics and all the different warning signs, you know, kind of like point these things out in people if we're, you know, texting and we're not, you know, meeting them in public, we're not, well, and don't get me wrong. I don't want you guys to go meet strangers and, you know, do all that. So, you know, but do you know what I'm saying? Like healthy dating and communicating, you know, eye contact and you know what I mean?
You mean
just
so,
being together.
So opposite end of the spectrum, we're going from a bad kind of relationship socializing to the more positive side.
Right. Like if you're dating, if you're in that realm of your life where you're dating, I mean, how are you, you have to look for these red flags, you know, you have to, or the green flags.
Right.
You know, and in order to do that, you have to have a conversation, not be like in your phone texting somebody else or, you know, on the web, surfing the web as somebody's talking. Like you have to pay attention to these things.
Well, yeah.
It's important.
Well, yeah. And it's everything is a 50-50 thing, right? So going into... We're kind of going in a different direction
right
now.
It's okay.
But socializing, you know, just meeting people. There's some people that don't even like to go out anymore.
Yeah, I tend to be kind of one of those people. I have to I do really try to push myself. Why do you think that is? Actually getting off topic a little bit, but why do you think that is?
Rejection.
Yeah.
In this day and age, we are not a nice world anymore, people.
No.
We are not. And a lot of people, a big thing, and I'm a Facebook person and I'm always on there. And I kind of look at things. I look at patterns, but it's rejection.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to be rejected. And people are so quick to be mean anymore. They don't,
yeah.
Nobody puts anything good out anymore about anybody.
Right.
You know, I posted on there the other day, you know, find something positive in somebody and let them know that because they might not even know.
Right.
They like to paint. That's a beautiful painting. They like to play the guitar. You are, that's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything, you know,
right.
If they're good talkers, they'd be a good car dealer. I mean, just
anything.
It doesn't have to be anything big, but people don't compliment each other anymore.
I was just going to say that compliment, like, you know, it's nice to hear sometimes, and you're totally right. I think that, yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, you don't hear the positivity anymore. You don't, you know, everything is, you know, pointing out the flaws or
I mean,
the negativity.
If they got nice shoes on, tell them, let them
yeah,
know.
I
hey,
like,
I
your
like
shoes.
Their shoes.
Right.
They might
why
not even notice them, but somebody else did.
Right.
And that might mean a lot to that person.
Or that might make their day.
Exactly. And that's why I always say, And I've told a few of my friends this who've been, I'll say they're touring, right? Mm-hmm. They've been traveling around. Take 5 to 7 minutes and talk to a complete stranger, right?
Right.
Because you can make that person's day, meet a new good friend, and learn something. We all can learn something new every day, right?
Oh, for sure.
The smartest people can learn something new each yep. day. But just take 5 to 7 minutes and just talk to a complete stranger or someone you know, standing in line with you. Small talk. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be about your kids or your family or, you know, just something small. Like, hey, I like your glasses. What brand are they?
Yeah, right.
And that's sparking something and starting a conversation, which...
And it's healthy. It's not toxic.
Right. And then on a small scale, but even in a bigger scale of the world, you know, people yep. just don't do that anymore.
No, they sure do not. They sure do not.
You know?
So guys, if you would like some more info on this topic today, you can find us on Facebook. Don't forget to click like. But there you will find resources pertaining to today's topic, today's show.
Yes.
So that is it. We will talk to you guys
next time.
Have a good evening.